Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Have you ever seen me wear a turtleneck before?
I believe there has been an instance or two that you've had one.
I think you're lying, dude. I've never worn or bought a turtleneck before unless you've given me one before.
I mean, I know I've had turtlenecks, but I guess, you know what? Yeah. It's first time for everything, but I don't know if you've... I feel like I've seen you some turtlenecks on.
Looking like Miles Teller on a Sunday, just ready to call Jesus, man. I'm ready to go, man. I told you I've been ready to go to church, man. So Jesus calling, we got the book on the right side, the candle lit on the left. Today's episode of Man to Man is brought to you by the official betting app, WynnBET. That's WynnBET. How does it work? I don't know, dude. All you got to do is click the link in the description of whatever platform you are listening on, or click the link in any of our social media bios at Man to Man Podcast. And then what? Well, let me tell you, young sister. You deposit $1, you get $100 in store credit to bet, or you can opt in and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000, aka, hello, you cannot lose, dude. You can literally win, as they say. Here's a tip for you first-timers. Throw a grand on the Tennessee Titans and, I don't know, thank the Nashville boys later. Tighten up, we're 8-2. Only available in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, or Virginia. Coming to New York City soon. We'll get into the New York City soon, too. You know what I'm saying? The next and best betting app is here, WynnBET. That's WynnBET. Bet with the best. We appreciate WynnBET for supporting the podcast. Shout out to all of our Dash Radio listeners out there as we're on the Nothing But Net All Things Basketball channel every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Central Time, baby. Appreciate you guys rocking with us. And shout out Six Pack Coverage, the latest sports media agency right outside of downtown Nashville, Tennessee, in which we've partnered up with. Make sure to check them out at sixpackcoverage.com for all the latest news in sports, finance, food, travel, fitness, and entertainment, lifestyle. And more importantly, you'll find yours truly. Liam and Andy, what's up? Man, what a week, man. This episode is going to be really exciting. First of all, thanks to all of our listeners out there, man. We appreciate you guys rocking week in and week out. Hope everyone is just staying healthy out there and saying hello to the bidet on a daily basis. If not, get your fiber in, dude. Drink that cough. My young soldier and soldierlet. Speaking of soldiers, since, you know, it happened in the middle of the week last week and we weren't able to get an episode out, we just want to give a quick shout out to all the former and current vets out there who have put their lives on the line for us to have freedom to podcast, baby. We are here. But most importantly, we certainly do appreciate your sacrifice. But yeah, dude, I feel good, man. I'm breathing alive and well, and I'm back in Nashville. And how you doing, dude? I feel like I'm talking a lot. Are you breathing alive and well over there, my guy?
I'm always breathing. Sometimes we had a little discussion. You got to decide and set reminders to breathe in certain situations. And I've set my alarm today and I've decided that I'm going to keep breathing today. So yeah, I'm doing very well.
You ever check the weather app and you scroll all the way down and it tells you how good the air in that area is?
Yeah. So, yeah,
it usually ain't really that good, but you try to find, I don't know, is there, I was telling this to somebody this week, and I tell you what, you Knoxville people probably know what I'm talking about. It just always said bad to breathe. Like, that's what it said. It's like, do not go outside. Pretty much the air pollution is not great to breathe in right now. What is there a guy that goes out like every morning? He's like, you know, licking his fingers, seeing if that air is good, you know, for the first 10. Yeah, and telling the news report, I don't think this is going to be good for the Knoxville people today. He's got, like, class, too. He's, like, a guy that's an intern.
So in that instance, I can't do any air is good air if you're breathing in my directions, because the air outside probably is shitty anyway. So I would appreciate your air if you breathed it in my, I guess, vicinity. So
yeah, the vicinity is always rocking in the air, dude. So whatever that means, we're excited to be back, man. We are. We really are. We're excited to be talking to you guys every week. It's gonna be a fun episode, as I guess we're gonna dive deep into my most recent spontaneous instant trip up to New York and staying with someone I've never met before in a hotel room, and everything, of course, that occurred in the Big Apple, like myself dapping up Stephen A. Smith. What's good? Liam, it sounds like when we talked, you were bumping, grinding it out at home this week without any slang and bang. We'll get into that. And for the back half of this episode, we'll once again be dribbling it out with our guy JP. And give you guys our hot takes on the most relevant news surrounding the quote-unquote fresh breath of NBA. What's up? It's Andy and Liam from Man to Man Podcast, where we create a conversation between two lifelong friends in their mid-20s trying to find the intersection between staying up to date in all aspects of life and, of course, NBA basketball. To relate to you guys, we chat about adulthood, life, our day-to-day experiences that we go through, dating, and all the other things that come up with your best friends. Unafraid to be an open book, the trials and tribulations of the 20s are on full display. We're all in this thing together, baby. Man to Man is here to entertain. This is your co-host, Andy Elliott.
Alongside your co-host, Liam, the Hoopstar, Nash.
Wear that MDMA, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
So before we get into it in too deep, I guess we already know that you made this spontaneous trip to New York. We mentioned it on last episode. I was questioning it because you sent me a text and like, hey, I got a flight in the morning. I'm going to New York. And I was like, all right, I guess that's a okay thing to do. I mean, you never been there before. So I was like, yeah, you're going to New York. Later, you know, to come and find out that you're out there, you know, going to see somebody and staying with somebody you've never met before, seeing some other friends of ours as well. But I guess let's just start from the top in terms of how was the trip, your first trip to New York? What was the overall, I guess, if you had to, you know, give a rating for New York, what was it like for you and how did it go down? What was your initial vibes of New York?
You know me, man, only child. You know, I like that city life. I can't really see myself being out in the country, having a lot of open space, although it's probably a lot more relaxing than anything else. You know, concrete jungle where dreams are made of, you know, the cities are there to inspire you and all the lights and everything else. It's a different vibe. That's for damn sure. It gave me the Chicago vibes when I was up there, and just a lot of people. Obviously, you can find yourself in stressful situations, being in Times Square, Upper Manhattan, just around a lot of other people, being in Central Park, hagglers. I saw it all, man. It's a very diverse city, which was awesome to see. There's a lot of things going on at the same time. I stayed in the financial district, aka FIDI. You see it all, man. I was just questioning, is this a good part of the town to be in? I don't know. Is it a bad part? Is it an okay part? A lot of people that are familiar with New York obviously knows that Financial District is a very nice place in Lower Manhattan. It was a vibe, man. Yeah, that we stayed in the Marriott. And I got this, you know, stay with somebody who I've never met before. But that's just the kind of person that I am, making friends and just kind of going the flow. And then I felt like this was a time for me to be adventurous, but also have an open mind as to just kind of the next steps in my life and what that looks like and trying to just create more opportunities for myself, whether that was talking to my friends and getting advice from them, how they're liking their jobs up there. But to make it short and sweet, it was a good time, man. And if I had to rate it, I'd probably give it like a 7.3 out of 10. Only thing that I really didn't like up there was the amount of people, how stressful it was in those, you know, those big environments like Times Square. The subway is stressful for the people that know what a subway is, riding a subway is like, getting in and out of subway, just not knowing where you're at, always having to look up maps and walk around and everything else like that. That was the only downplay part, you know, just, man, where am I? Where am I? Am I going this way? You're in a huge city and, you know, your maps aren't really that helpful because you're trying to, everyone that's used maps while they're walking on a sidewalk, you know, you're trying to find where your radar is looking at and you're trying to just pinpoint like two of those together, both of those together, if that makes sense. So New York City was awesome, man. I went to Brooklyn a couple of nights, checked out, you know, I ate good food and, yeah, man, it was cool. I don't know what other questions you had, but yeah,
that's I want to ask you this because I guess we went to LA a week prior or 2 weeks prior to you going to New York.
Yep.
You know, they say, you know, LA is a certain type of vibe. New York is a certain type of vibe. You know, there's big cities like that, you know, of LA, New York, you know, just the popularity of the two cities. Yep. What one would you like to, or not like to, but what one do you see yourself more, you know, a part of, or like if you could relate to more, mm-hmm. is it New York or the LA?
It's a good question. And they both have a lot of similarities, but they're both obviously very contrasting to each other. Like New York, upstate, you know, cold, LA, like that's the biggest difference, just climate. They're both very widespread and spacious. But if I had to pick one, probably New York, just because I know more people there.
All right. Well, let's get into it. So what's some of the things, I guess the coolest part maybe of what you did there? I'm getting texts and snaps of you doing a bunch of crazy stuff. So what coolest part of New York if you had to rate something of your coolest part, what is it?
Yeah, sure. Coolest part, man, probably the second night we were there, it was a little street called Stone Street, and that's the first paved street in New York City that they built. And I think it was like 1958 or something like that. So we were on this, you know, little area of restaurants called Stone Street. That was really cool. Quick side note, it's kind of funny. New York has obviously a lot of history. You know, George Washington was elected the president there, and Thomas Jefferson, I don't know if he made light bulbs there. There's a lot of TJ going on. I didn't really understand what was going on. But there was really close to where we ate at that second night. There was a restaurant that had George Washington's chicken pot pie recipe, and they just were trying to gas it up to me. I said, I'm not eating dust, brother. And so that's what that was probably in. But no, it probably being on Stone Street was really cool. Brooklyn is awesome, man. Where we were staying at, the Brooklyn Bridge is right there. And you just go right across the Brooklyn Bridge, and it's very close to everything else. It's got that Brooklyn vibe to it. But if I did a lot of cool things, man. I dabbed up Stephen A. Smith. So that was pretty cool. The first take and Get Up team were at the Get Up studio at Pier 17, right near where we were staying at. And I just pretty much the way I found out that they were over there was I just woke up. First take is always on. We're live in New York. So I go over there and just, I acted like I worked there for a second. So pretty much it's a big pier. It's got a bunch of studios in it. It's raining. No one is really in the area around noon. And I'm trying to like get into these restricted door areas, and the security guard's like, hey, what are you doing, man? He was like, do you work here? I was like, yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. How's your day going? Like just trying to change the subject. But no, I found the entrance to the ESPN where the ESPN workers and studios and production guys go in and out of that place. Molly Kerm walks out around noon. I said, what's up to Molly? And then Stephen A walks out just strutting out by himself with no security guard. And I was just so shell shocked. And all I said to him was, what's up, Stephen A? Like, how you doing, brother? Fist pounded him. He was like, I'm good, brother. I'm good. I should have asked for a picture because it was literally just me and him. I tried to respect his privacy. It looks like he was walking. You know, he probably had five other shows that day, and I knew that. But I definitely probably could have got a quick picture from him since it was just us. We did a boat tour. The boat tour was awesome, man. I got to see like both sides of New York City and Jersey City, which is really cool. They said that, you know, you look to the left, you see New York and all these buildings. That's the past. You look to the right to Jersey City. That's the future. A bunch of futuristic buildings. I got to see the Statue of Liberty up very, very up close, man. That thing is huge. And then Times Square was cool. I didn't really want to take too many pictures or videos of Times Square. I just kind of wanted to soak it all in. There was a lot of cool things that I did. Yeah. And then a lot of Snapchats that I sent to you and everything else. So, to answer your previous question, I'd probably just be in New York more than LA or San Diego, because I got people up there and it's just a lot of opportunity up there, especially with what I'm trying to do.
All right. So I kind of eased into this. Now I'm going to try to dive into.
Yeah. Where are you going with this, man?
I'm going to dive into more of the questions that I mean, it's good to, you know, off the, you know, get a nice landscape picture. Yeah. New York was cool. You visited all these places. And you saw Stephen A. You're over there trying to finger his butthole or something.
Yeah, right.
But the biggest thing is why you went there in the first place and you were meeting somebody you never met before.
Yeah.
So I want to know firsthand experience of what that was like, how that first encounter was. Was that weird? And then kind of what that vibe was. In terms of when you first met her, would you do anything special that first night or anything like that? So can I get a little piece for the people of the real story behind of why you made it?
Man, I was trying to get kinky, brother. I really was, man. No, I'm kidding, dude. Yeah, in the last episode, I said I was trying to go out there to create my own love story, man. You know, it's all fun and jokes till you actually try to do it. So pretty much, this person who I met up with is someone who I met in Chicago when we were there earlier this summer. But I'd never met her in person. I was like slid into her DMs and she answered me like literally like a month and a half ago. It was like, oh damn. Like I forgot. Like, yeah, I know you forgot. You probably, and this is a, you know, it's a girl that gets a lot of attention, I'm sure. So I guess I'll give her a little backstory. She is in New York for about a month because her job is remote from Chicago. So she was just kind of checking out the vibes in New York City as well. She was in Brooklyn. And so, yeah, we were talking for about a month and it wasn't that weird because we were pretty comfortable with each other already, although we had never met face to face. We FaceTimed a few times, but first night, you're staying with the person for four nights and it's a female. It's somebody you've been talking to. Sure. You're going to take them out first night, right? And I had a pleasure doing so. I appreciate that she let me, and we went out to Brooklyn and went to this nice little rooftop restaurant. I had a salad all day, man. I got crizanked hammered, dude. Okay, I'm sorry. Crizanked, man. I got athletic that night, to say the least, and you can take that as just talking about the drinks.
I think the people know what athletic means. It means you out there doing your thing one way or another, right?
I was just trying to get involved with the drinks. And I did. So, yeah, it was awesome, man. It would there to answer your original question, there was no awkwardness, maybe at first, but I'm a people person and I just know how to relate to people. And that's just me being myself. And this person kind of matched that vibe. So it was fairly easy. You know, she's in social media and does consumer marketing and things like that, the things that I'm sort of interested in as well. So it was very easy to bond and mess and just kind of bounce off each other's personalities. And then, yeah, we had a great time throughout the week, man. So I hope to stay in touch with her. And, we'll see what happens. You know, she's back in Chicago. So that was her last week in New York as well. So we kind of left the same day, just at different times. But yeah, she's back in Chicago and kind of figuring out if she wants to go back to New York, stay in Chicago for 6 months. I don't know what I want to do. I don't really feel like I'm wanting to go back to Chicago. I will say when I was up in New York, I did get some of those like dark memories from Chicago because they're fairly similar cities. And yeah, I think that the dark memories that I'm talking about are just in Chicago, just not being able to like land a full-time job. And then obviously COVID happened when I lived in Chicago. I don't know if that answered the question. It was just a good vibe, dude. It was a great vibe. But when you, you know, you, I was, like I said, at first, when you try to go up there and make your own love story and shit like that, it's like 50% joking and then 50% realistically that that's not going to happen. You don't.
You're trying to see what that is and if it could be something. And meet new people like that, especially because you, it seems like you knew her a little bit longer than like just one time, like right. texted her. You've been talking to her for a little while and
yeah.
and stuff like that. So I think that makes it easier.
It doesn't happen off rip. We're just two different people, I think. And so that's kind of where that went. And but I will say, man, I got to shout out my boys up there who I did go visit. Your guys from, yeah.
I was going to say, you also met up with some other people I know and stuff like that. And so it's good that you, you know, didn't spend, it might sound bad if I say it like this, but it's good that you didn't focus completely your trip around her. You know,
right.
you also were there to see other people and do a lot of other things as well, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And speaking of that, you met up with some of the guys I went to high school with. Shout out Hop.
Yeah, shout out
James Douglas.
Yeah,
Mr. Eskin.
Eskin's got a girlfriend, man.
Yeah,
Eskin's got a girlfriend. He's in love, man. It's good seeing all my boys happy. All my boys that I went to go visit up there have girlfriends, and so they're living it, dude. Hop's got a girlfriend. Eskin, Hop's got a really cool crib in Brooklyn, a 2-story, and then that rooftop right up there. I'm sure you saw on my Instagram page was just, you had a full city view of. New York on the other side. Yeah, shout out to them for the hospitality. Ben Davis, big shout out, man. Big shout out to Benny Boy. And it was great, man. That the last day on that Friday, the same day I like dabbed up Stephen A, I was, you know, my friend who I was staying with was working. And so I was just kind of by myself. I had my backpack on for the first time, kind of like what I did in Chicago. And I just roamed around the city, man. I went to the World Trade Center. I went to the Oculus. World Trade Center, Oculus. I checked out a bunch of memorials, and I just walked around. So it was cool, man.
That's what you got to do in a bigger city like that. Like in Chicago, it's a very obviously walkable city. Maybe not so much for LA, but like even like Miami is a very walkable, you know, city in terms of like a lot of things happen around a centralized point. Same with New York. You can walk in the city. And in the streets, and you'll find things and stuff like that. So I'm glad that you got the chance to do that. What about Central Park? What's your initial thoughts about Central Park? I know you said you were kind of staying next to it. You have any stories about Central Park?
Yeah, Central Park was cool. Obviously, thinking about like all the movies and films that have been filmed there. It's funny because we went on the boat tour, I think, on that Thursday, which was awesome. It was an incredible time. That was probably the most favorite thing. I'm coming back trying to figure out how to speak English again.
Hey, it happens to the best.
Not that I did such a great job in the first place, but you gotta take that Ambien, baby. So we went on the boat tour, and then obviously we're near Central Park, and we checked out Central Park. There's a lot of people in Central Park, but man, there are some hagglers there. And this guy's like walking, you know, he comes up to us, a guy like mid-20s, looks like a decent, normal human being, you know, no hobo type shit or anything like that. Just comes us and just starts walking with us for like 5 minutes. Like, hey, I don't mean to interrupt you guys, but, you know, I'm trying to save up money for my college education and blah, 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 motherfucker, just get to the point. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just got to the point, I might have thrown you something. But you're walking with me and another person on my first time in Central Park, and it was a bit annoying. And so I was just like, "Hey, man, I'm just gonna be straight up. I'm visiting. I've been spending a lot of money as it is already. Good luck with everything in school, but I can't do anything for you, dog." And he's like, "That is the worst excuse that I've ever heard in my entire life." And I'm like, "Go get a job, bro. Like, I don't know what else to say to you. You look like a decent human being, dude. Like, you can do it, probably." So they're hagglers. I mean, they're hagglers in Nashville, where we live at, probably where you live at in Indianapolis. Central Park was cool. It was overrated, in my opinion. Yeah. I think the coolest thing about New York also is, and I'll go both ways with this, The coolest thing, one of the cooler things about New York is not only the diversity and different cultures and different lifestyles that you have in every single space in New York, but you got children running around and living lives. You have families there, and there are parks there, and people are reading in Central Park. Like, it all seems normal until someone's just smoking a fat doobie next to a four-year-old child. You know what I'm saying? Pot is legal there. So the whole city smells like pot. We had some really good pizza there. But yeah, no, I was just like, that was the one thing I was just kind of thinking about while I was there. I was like, man, this is cool for the kids and the children and everything else. But man, that child's going to be a fucking drug addict at the age of 14. So that kid's going to be selling drugs on the corner.
When I was in college, I worked out on the East Coast in Boston and at a camp. And I would, after every year, I would go and stay with one of the kids and his family and kind of just, you know, babysit, but just, I mean, I was a babysitter, but it was more of like, we're cool and this and that for another week or two after the camp was over, just because, A, I wanted to make some extra money. But he lived right across from Central Park. And when, as a kid, obviously their parents are pretty wealthy in that, but when your backyard basically is Central Park, it's like a whole nother idea of like, damn, like, this is how some kids grow up. And it was just kind of an eye-opening moment.
It's the inner city kids is what it is.
Yeah. And it was eye-opening for me. It was like, damn, this is your life. And it's a lot different than what I would expect. But
yeah,
at least coming from where I came, living and growing up in Nashville, it's a lot different. You know what I mean?
Right, so. Right. Yeah, man. It was a good time. I really did enjoy it for the first time. Had a lot of friends that were there. And I saw a Barstool. Barstool was pretty cool. Yeah. There's no store sign. There's not a, I guess Barstool's not a store, but there's no Barstool sign outside the building. You don't even know where it's really at. You kind of just guess it's like on the second floor, like a 30 floor building. But yeah, it was good. I'm trying to think if I left anything out. I've told you everything before this. Let me know if I have.
So I know we talked about you visiting Times Square. I guess just what was your like first initial thoughts and how that is set up? Because for me, when I went there the first time, it was like you said, almost shell shocked when you saw Stephen A. For me, that was like a total like 360 of like, this is a different type of place. Yeah, you know?
It's not comparable to any other city. Like, big screens, bright lights. That's what it is. You're trying to walk just straight, you know, not bumping shoulders into people with very large shoulders. there's people like just passing you that are just saying, smoke good weed. Okay, I get that. I'm trying. Listen. It's just a bunch of big screens and everywhere. And I just wanted to soak it all in. I took one video I put on my Instagram. I didn't want to take anything else. No, I didn't take any pictures of Times Square. No other videos. Didn't want to get myself in there. I did see a lot of content creators out there that were just trying to break dance on the mother effing street, brother. And that was cool to see, like, you know, bunch of little high school chicks like taking TikToks and stuff. And it is what it is. They wanted me to follow. I said, I don't think that's appropriate. So it's funny because you think back on it, obviously in the midst of COVID last year. And that's why my boys told me Times Square is just a ghost town, but the screens were still on. So, that's kind of weird to think about.
I've seen some pictures of like, you know, side by sides of like during COVID times where, you know, Times Square is just absolutely dead.
Yeah.
And then like when like a popular time like New Year's or something, it's like totally just kind of scary in terms of that. But
you got to be careful. You got to bring your wits with you. And I think that was the biggest thing that I knew coming into it, because I was passing a lot of people that were looking at me. I had my triple white Jordan ones on every single day of the week, and I'm a little white boy, you know? So I had to kind of be cautious. I really do need a pocket knife or something like that when you're just going to those bigger cities, because you even got homeless people that are looking at you when you're going one way, they're going the opposite way toward you. This one homeless guy was just like, yo, move over, bro, move over. And I was like, the fuck is that guy's problem? Yeah, I will. But, you know, if I don't, he'll probably fucking rock me in the face or something, you know? So you just got to bring your wits with you and just be careful. And I'm sure a lot of people have, you know, gotten pit pocketed there and, you know, kind of messed around with. So that's, you know, that's another another reason why you should, or another reason why people just don't live there, and another reason probably why I wouldn't move there until I'm good, you know, until I got some good bread coming in and staying at a nicer place than anything.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a lot of fun for me, and I'm glad that you got the opportunity to do that. Do you have any maybe closing thoughts in terms of, I know we kind of, I mean, speedily went through your trip, but like any closing thoughts maybe on the girl situation, on just the trip in general, and then like just how you feel after now that you're back home?
Yeah. It was a great time overall, and I'm glad I got to do it in a situation that I'm in right now, which is really just trying to figure out my passion and my purpose in life. And so when I was out there kind of by myself, looking at everything, seeing Stephen A. Smith, seeing what can and could be. I mean, it's a city that it kind of puts things into perspective. When I was out there, I was like, you know what? Let's get to work. Like, figure out what you want to do. And some of the talks that I had with some of my best friends out there, just seeing what they do, how they do things, what their lifestyles are like, and how you survive up in a big city like that, kind of put myself in a perspective. I was like, okay, let's figure out what you want to do. And then the biggest thing that I realized is let's start to make some connections. We know so many people that do so many different things, right? And you don't, and I realized I don't take enough time to just reach out to people. You know, it might feel weird or awkward or something like that. Even people, you know, you get on LinkedIn, see an alumni, like, try to just make connections. So that's a thing that I realized that I wasn't doing a good job at, just being out there and being like, okay, I appreciate your advice. I appreciate the talks. Realize that you can't force yourself into a relationship, but relationships and friendships are the friendships, and networking is the biggest thing right now for me. All my friends that have girlfriends they're stable. You know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of just at that point where it's like, I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And not to get too deep about it, but it's a realization, and I'm glad I did it. And yeah, man. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, just back in Nashville. I'm in a spot where I was able to go do that for a second. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people working from home, and they're able to go move wherever and whatnot. But there are a lot of people that are getting back into their jobs, and their offices are now hybrid, and then schools and everything else like that. So yeah, I kind of just was a sponge and soaked it all in, and kind of realized, why am I out there? Let's figure out why we're out here now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you went out there for maybe a different intention, but once you get out there, let's figure out why you made the trip in the first place, so it doesn't sound dumb to yourself. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I tried to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. And I appreciate another- it. Yeah, I think another big thing that a lot of people don't understand, especially on the networking side of things, is a lot of people, you know, people have reached out to me sometimes and be like, you know, how are you doing? What are you doing? This and that. And it makes me feel good in terms of like, hey, this person reached out and was seeing how I'm doing, what my job situation is, that this and that. So to realize that for you is almost made me feel good in terms of, because when you go and try to do that and ask somebody about how they're doing, you just have to realize it makes them feel good too. Mm-hmm. And in terms of networking, that's what it is. Like, people love to talk about themselves, and on the flip side, you get to learn about a lot of different things, which it sounds like you did. So
yeah, yeah. And just getting into those conversations that are just, how are you doing what you do? How did you get into that? Like, how did you grow a passion? You know, when we do all these interviews, you know, we ask them how they got into it in the first place. So, and it's cool. And then when you get into those conversations, obviously they try to help you at the end of it. Right. So that's what the benefits of anything. I've just learned that. That's what Ben was saying, man. You try to go do something. If you want to connect with somebody, really try to go connect with them. If you're able to do so, go get him lunch, man. Go talk to him, and just, you know, simple things like that. I want to shout out Mikey Domagala, who rain checked on my ass, but yeah, he told me not to do that because he really did try. Shout out Official NBA Buzz, that's our boy. It was on Friday is when we were supposed to link up, and he was in Staten Island. It's about an hour away from Financial District, and it was, you know, it was tornado weather in New York at that point in time. So shout out Mikey, man. We'll have to connect at some other point. Shout out to Logan Watkins, man. Another guy who's my fraternity the second night on Stone Street. He took us to Stone Street and hosted us. But yeah, man, it was a good time. Closing thoughts. That's it, man. Glad I did it. Let's get to work here, dude.
Yeah. I think with that, we'll jump or dive or do something.
You want to jump or dive, brother?
I'm always a jumper at heart, but I love to dive too. So
yeah. You know how to dive?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't learn how to swim till sixth grade, brother. I didn't network enough up to that point.
Yeah, but we'll
I guess that's a bad joke.
we'll bring on JP here for the second half of the episode and dive into some NBA talk. So
second half of this episode, we're going to be dribbling. I don't know if you guys know yet, but we're going to be dribbling. JP is joining us. JP is obviously a part of the MTM boys now, but if this is someone's first time listening to the boys, JP is one of our guys who is on the team, and we appreciate him rocking with us every week and talking his game and getting his hot takes and insights and everything else. JP, how are you on this fine Sunday night? I know I asked you last Sunday. I hope it's a similar answer, but you're looking good, man. I hope you're breathing well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm feeling good, looking good. You gentlemen are looking good as always. It's just whenever I come in here, I always feel just a certain warmth from the connection we have. And then you were wearing a turtleneck and a chain. You look like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I know.
I was fascinated by that. So it's good, man. I can't complain. Clemson win yesterday. Detroit Lions tie today. We'll take it. I mean, it's all in all, I think I'm going to get a couple fantasy wins this weekend. I'm doing good, and I'm ready to talk some ball.
Let me ask you something. Why does TJ Hockenson get 0 points in the game?
Because Jared Goff can't throw the damn ball. That's only answer I got for you.
Man, I'm devastated, dude. Star player, man. Star player. Top five tight end in fantasy football. We'll see what happens in my fantasy leagues, man. But glad you're here, JP. Don't know if you're lying or not, but glad you're breathing well, brother. Okay, cool. Before we get into it, watch out. It's about looking at it, dude. Today's episode, second half of this episode of Man to Man, is brought to you by Zinvo Watches. So watch out, baby. Zinvo has created one of the most unique watch faces in the world with their signature Blade collection. It's a collection, baby. They have a ton of beautiful, sleek designs with dozens of different colorways to choose from. A perfect accessory for a night out or use as an everyday timepiece. Zinvo's Collections is a must-have in your watch arsenal collection. Go to their arsenal collection. Okay, cool. Go to their website today, zinvowatches.com, and snag a piece before it's too late. We got about 15 days to do it, pretty much. That's what the partnership between the MTM boys and Zinvo's, that's how long we last until you can use them. Okay. Use promo code MTM20 at the checkout to help support our show and to receive 20% off your final purchase. Stand out from the crowd, Zinvo Watches. Appreciate the copy from none other than JP. We appreciate it, man. He knows how to write as well. We got a stud on the wall here, man. All right, cool. Second half, baby. Let's talk some ball. Let's get into it, baby. Trivia question. And you guys are 1-1. JP will just, you know, we'll give you the win first week, dude. I'm going to ask the question again this week. If you guys don't mind, you guys are 1-1. You missed the last week's question, which I believe was who has lost 3 straight NBA finals? And it was... Was it the Knicks? It was the Knicks. They lost to the Minneapolis Lakers and the Celtics. So, here we go, baby. Trivia question of the week. Who is the lowest seeded team to win the NBA title?
Well, so we need the seed. Do we need a seed and the team, or what's good here on this?
We'll go seed and team.
Obviously, we'll start off with my hint. I don't even know where this is going because I have no idea off the top of my head. But what do we got a year that this might have happened in terms of what team did this?
Do you want the year? Is that the hint that you want?
I mean, yeah. Unless you're gonna give me a better hint. What's the
Can we start with decade? Decade. Give us the decade first. And then if we can't get decade, we'll go down to year.
Yeah. 90s.
90s.
90s. All right.
Yeah.
I got an idea. JP, you got any ideas here?
So we can go by year, really. So the Bulls, six of them.
Right.
So, but were the Bulls ever not the one or two seed in the East?
I think they were, I honestly think they were a four seed one of the years. I think in 80 or 92. One of the years they had a down year, I think. And
you got to think about who also played in the 90s, though, that were that were good teams. What other teams were good teams?
The Rockets took one or two.
Yeah.
Late 90s. That would have been the Spurs and a lockout season. But was that could have been 2000.
I got to stop smiling, man.
I think it was I think it might be
like 99 Spurs. I don't know.
I was going to say, I think it's late 90s. I think that was where I got the. Can we get the year? Because if you get the
it ain't early 90s. I'm not going to say if it's mid or late, though.
So it's not early.
You want me to give you the year? I'll give you the year.
Yeah, give me the year because I think I know.
95.
95. So that is mid. So it's dead middle.
Rockets.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know if I have another team to. So
I mean, if it's 95,
when was the last time the Bulls? When was the last year that the Bulls won? Was it the 92-93 season? That's their last championship, right? And then they took a break, and then they had a couple of them, and then they came back and won a couple more, right?
Yes. Afterwards, and so.
So it's those, I think it was those 2 years in between where.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Bulls or not, but if it's not Bulls, it's got to be Rockets. Like those are, I'm going to guess 95. I don't ever remember hearing about like the 90. You hear the 96 Bulls a lot, but not like the 95.
Yeah, so it was that year in between those two.
95 and 96 for the Bulls. But that was the year. So what's the final guess? For both you guys. I mean,
I guess you take what you think, and I'll just say the other team and see if that's right.
All right, I'll say I think it was the Rockets.
Yeah, and I'll say I think it'll be the Bulls if it's not.
And then I think the Rockets were, I'll go four seed.
Yeah, I think the Bulls were that. I think that also the Bulls were that four seed too. To be honest with you, I think that was a down year if it happens to be. So
this team entered the playoffs seeded sixth. And the Western Conference with a 47-35 record. But they became the lowest seeding team to win an NBA title, beating 450-game winners in the process, being the Utah Jazz, the Phoenix Suns, San Antonio Spurs, and the Orlando Magic, who they swept in the finals. Hmm. 1995, the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that was a good guess.
Thank you.
That was nice. We worked through that very well. I think as a team, we worked through that question very well.
That was awesome, man. Yeah. All right. Well, should we call it 1-1 for each now? Or should we say JP 2-1, Hoopstar 1-2?
I think me and JP are on a team to stump you because we worked through that very well together. So okay. I think it's us against you. So.
All right. We'll call you guys 2-1. JP and Hoop, 2-1. Andy, I don't know, 2-50. Yeah. That's why we kind of switched it up. All right. We're going to go into our game of the week here. Game of the week. I'll go first. You want me to go first, Hoop?
Yeah, you got first. You got first. You can give your game of the week, man.
Okay.
We'll start here first. Before you give your game of the week, we got some things that we got to handle first. When we give out picks and we want the people to follow our picks because we want them to think that we're good at basketball talk and our takes and stuff. But when we started this now and you've gone 0-2. How can the people trust you if we're going 0-2? You haven't even given one winner yet. I know we're early, but still, you got to give some type of something for the people, right?
Yeah, I think last week's game of the week. All right, so I got to avoid teams trying to beat the Warriors. All right, that's my biggest thing right here. Those have been my two games of the week. It was, I think it was the Hornets to upset the Warriors just straight up outright. And then I was like, okay, let me step back a little bit. More of an electric team, went off on that whole rant about the Bulls. The Bulls are still up there, dude. They just played a really, really bad game. And so I took the spread on that game, and they just got rocked. Lonzo Ball doesn't know how to score the ball that game. I guess back in California, you know, back to his old LA Lakers days, and he just wasn't great. So I'm going to avoid betting against the Warriors because I think the Warriors are just a hot team right now, although they're down two Sunday night with 25 seconds left in the fourth against none other than the Charlotte Hornets. So fuck. All right. So my game of the week is going to be a little different this week. And I don't know if it's a hot game of the week, but I think it is, man. I think it is. I'm very underdog heavy. So my game of the week is Wednesday night, ESPN, 6:30 PM. The Lakers at Bucks. I'm talking about Lakers are out with LeBron right now, and they've been out with LeBron. He'll be back. He'll be back for this game, man. So JP's looking at me like this. Nah, this ain't it, dude. JP's not a Lakers guy.
We need a win, and I don't know taking a team that's not so, looking so hot.
Here, my game of the week, Bucks hosting Lakers, Wednesday night, ESPN, 6:30 p.m. Take the Lakers plus 7.5. ESPN has the Bucks favored at like 79, almost 80%. Yes, I know. Chris Middleton is also out with COVID, but he will be back. There's another guy that's just weirdly playing out of his mind for the Bucks, and I don't know how long that's going to last. White boy, Grayson Allen. Let's relax a little bit, dude. LeBron is, he's getting there. He's out right now. It's Sunday night. Frank Vogel said he's not participating in contact practices yet, but he looks, quote unquote, very good in individual practices. LeBron, statement game, Wednesday night, ESPN. The Lakers are, yeah, they're shitting the bed right now, but whatever. But so are the Bucks, kind of. Is no one just going to be like, oh, the Bucks should be top five, top two team right now? They're like 11th, tied with the Pacers. Let's relax a little bit on the Bucks. LeBron's coming back Wednesday night. The Lakers are 4-2 with LeBron playing this year. The two losses are against the Warriors, the very first game of opening night where LeBron put up a whopping 34 points in a 7-point loss. And then that second night, the Phoenix Suns. The Suns have always just gotten another an extra hand, I guess, over the Lakers. But he also put up 25 points. LeBron, statement game, ready to come back. This team's been looking iffy without him, but if AD can put up, golly, 34 points and 15 rebounds, Russ, I don't know if they need to change
their lineup.
I don't know if they need to change their lineup or minutes with different guys or not like that. I think Malik Monk needs more minutes. I think Rondo needs more minutes. I don't know if you're still trying to figure out things with Westbrook, but. And that's going to be the biggest question with the Lakers going forward. Is how does Westbrook combine in this situation where you have AD and LeBron, two juggernauts? Nonetheless, I think it's a good bounce back game for the Lakers if LeBron's healthy and playing this game. Take the points, Lakers plus 7.5, maybe 8. I don't know if it's going to go that high, but take the Lakers plus the points. Hopefully we can win one, boys. And I apologize if we don't win this one, but I'm feeling good with LeBron being back.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I like the pick because I probably would have be on the other side, but I do. I'm a Lakers fan, so I'm glad you're believing in what they're doing in that sense. But I'll go to my game of the week real quick, and I'm actually going to jump on the train that you've been trying to jump on and saying beating the teams of the Warriors. Some team has to beat the Warriors. They're, 10-1 right now as a Sunday night, and their best shot of getting beat is by, for me, the best team in the Eastern Conference, maybe not just in terms of, whatever your thoughts are on what their record is, but the best built team is definitely going to be the Nets. And I like their matchup against the Warriors, not to, foreshadow, some topics in man-to-man worthy, but James Harden is clicking. He's starting to get in his stride. KD, you don't have to worry about KD. KD is going to be a consistent scorer in that. The Nets are on the road here at the Warriors, and I think they'll be favored, or the Warriors will be favored still just because they're at home and they've been playing so great. So Nets probably just a little little small underdog, maybe 1 or 2 points here. But I think this is really, you look at games in the beginning of a season of like, these are games that will help you define and help you build into a team that makes a run. And we all like to look at games like this and be like, oh, it's, you know, it's a good matchup, Nets and Warriors. But these guys are looking much more down the road than this game in itself. That being said, I think the Nets have to be, you know, kind of the big dogs in the Eastern Conference, because it is kind of, we got the Wizards at the top of conference right now in the East. So they're going to try to start putting those pieces together to make, you know, statements. And this is a statement game for the Nets and get them start rolling. And what not to do it against a great team in terms of their record and how they've been playing lately. So I got to take the Nets being the Warriors. So I'm going to jump on your train, Andy. And this week is where the Warriors go down and the Nets will win. So I don't know if this is a good – I don't know.
Jesus call it, baby. Someone beat the Warriors, baby.
I don't know if this is a good spot to take, but – I mean, if you got, you know, the Nets on your side, you got to take them. So I'll take the Nets plus the points, because I think this is a good game for them. So, JP, do you have an idea of a game that you've had your eyes on this for this week or something like that? Or maybe do you agree with our takes? Yeah. Help your boy out. Help Andy out here, man. He's looking for a win. So,
So I don't have anything specific. I NBA gambling is something that I try to take very lightly, because come playoff time, I know I'm going to lose a lot of money because I have to gamble in the playoffs. So in the regular season, I take a little easy. However, I do want to make this statement now. If the Bucks end up covering and blow the Lakers out of the water, I'm going to give Andy the fade god title for until he wins one. And then that means I will be fading him. But I'm giving him one more week, and I don't even gamble regular season like that. But I will, so I'm making that statement right now. If Andy loses this week, he's getting the fade god title.
Won't happen if LeBron. All right, if LeBron is in there, dude, I think they cover. If not, you got to give me one more week.
Fair. That's tough.
Well, we're gonna have to see what happens. I'll think about it. But
like, if the Bucks win by like 13, 14, LeBron's getting those 14. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm just in my head. The wheels are spinning. I'm the little shadow of a doubt is starting to creep in, and we'll just see what happens.
One way or another, Andy, you're gonna make me a lot of money, because I'm either gonna jump on your train or I'm gonna just fade the hell out of you every week.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it, baby. I'm waiting for it. Praise God.
Oh shit! All right, let's jump into that being said,
let's do man-to-man worthy here. For anybody that doesn't know, short, sweet intro. I'm asking these boys about some NBA topics. They're gonna tell me whether they want to talk about it. They're gonna give their takes. If they don't want to do that, we're keeping it moving. Let's jump right in. So first one, this happened about a week ago now, so it's a little bit through the news cycle, but when it happened, it was a big deal. Nikola Jokic, MVP candidate, one of the best players in the league, known for having a bit of a hothead. Usually you don't see it too much on the court, but when it comes out, it's a big deal. Markieff Morris, known instigator, known hothead. These two went at it. Morris gave him a little shove coming up down the court. When the game was really in hand, I think is part of the bigger deal, is the game was basically over. And then Jokic, not really out of nowhere, but surprisingly, shoves Markieff Morris in the back, almost like punches him in the back of the head. It was a pretty big swipe from Nikola Jokic, who is not a small dude. Now, I'm not one to ever mess with Nikola Jokic. That dude came from the streets of Serbia. So you ain't going to see me mess with that guy. But the question is that, was this from the beginning, Markieff Morris cutting him off, giving him a shove, and then the Jokic swipe? First off, was it a dirty play? And then, of course, is it man-to-man worthy in general? And do we think there's going to be any repercussions beyond the suspensions and the fines that have already happened?
Yeah, I'll say this, and I'm glad that you brought up the question, was that a dirty play? Because I think this is where the discussion needs to go towards, in terms of it's worthy, because this is types of conduct that we see nowadays in the modern NBA, of where NBA players, we know, like, football is an aggressive sport. It's a very heavy, people hitting people all the time, right? Even hockey. And when you talk about the NBA, the modern day NBA has turned soft in this instance. If you watched, you know, I know I'm not been alive long enough, but like, you know, pre-90 basketball in the NBA, it's been so like, you know, physical in terms of people are, you know, bumping, grabbing, all of this. And nowadays it's like, oh, well, we can't be touched. That's, you know, too aggressive and this and that. So for me, I don't think it was so much of a dirty play, but it was just two guys, you know, in the heat of the moment, and one person didn't like what was happening and they were losing, and somebody did something that was maybe out of character, but not really, but just was surprising that happened. And so there was a reaction, and that's just basketball. And that's what basketball, if you play basketball from little kids all the way, you know, middle school, high school, AAU, college, and beyond, that is how basketball has been played all over the place. You know, you, there have been times where you get, somebody gets under your skin and something happens and you're like, no, fuck this. I'm about to, you know, say my piece and do a little extra. So for me, I like it. I think it just shows the passion of basketball, and that's where we got to get back to, people actually, or players actually caring about these first round or these early games in the season. And that just means that they both really cared. So for me, I don't think it was as much of a dirty play as it's just two people that were very passionate. So for me, I didn't mind it. Should it happen again every night? Probably not, but it was, I think it was a little blown out of proportion, at least in my eyes. So
what you trying to get into is the question, you know, like,
yeah, what you trying to do, man? What you trying to do?
What you trying to do, man? I've said this in recent episodes, and I think this is one of the most exciting NBA seasons that we've seen in a minute. You got to love a little bit of physicality, especially in the beginning parts of the NBA season. And this is just going to continue to add some more heated momentum and slash beef and get other people involved, get fans involved. This might even, you know, get more seats in those arenas, but you got to love the physicality. But Liam, I'm taking the other side. Hell yeah, it was a dirty play. And
both of the moves were dirty, though. Marquise Morris's play was dirty, and what Jokic did was dirty. If you go back and look at the replay, Marquise Morris is known to doing these little extra.
I hear you. It was a really hard hit, though. It really was. And especially when the guy wasn't looking. Good thing that Markieff had his back turned to Jokic, because if he was facing Jokic, this guy could have got real rocked, dude. Nonetheless, this guy's head snapped back, and it could have been a lot worse than it was. I think Jokic, he said it, it's a stupid play. He said it was a stupid play. I feel bad. Not supposed to react that way. I don't think so either. You get fined too. You get other players fined, but it adds heat. It adds heat to the game. It adds eyes to the games. There are a lot of people that we have a lot of friends that don't necessarily like NBA basketball, but when you have people that are, you know, bumping and shoving people and fighting and things like that, yeah, it adds a little scruff to, or adds a little notice to people's eyes. I don't really have a huge take on this. I just thought it was a dirty play. Liam, I'm with you. I'm not a big Morris guy, Morris Twins fan at all. I like Jokic a lot, but the guy's a reigning MVP, and, you know, somebody like that with a little higher class and just overall class to him. I get the whole Serbia thing. You don't want to mess around with the guys, the European guys like that. But it was, you know, he overreacted. I guess we'll just see what happens next time they play, because I wouldn't be surprised if it happened again.
Well, that's the thing too. These two teams will more than likely see each other in the playoffs, right? So this just builds a storyline for me. And it's not even that they were, if it was a good thing or a bad thing to do. It was just, we need more edginess in the NBA. Like, we're getting rid of these calls of, like, you know, kicking your leg out and fouls and this and that. Take me back, like, back on the schoolyard, you know, hard foul. You swipe me, I get a bloody nose, but I'm not complaining about it because I know this is how basketball is played, you know, in certain situations. So for me, I just like the edginess. Maybe Jokic took it a little too far, but maybe you shouldn't have pushed him as hard, or, you know, gave him a shove that hard, but Don't get in his face. You know, push him a little bit. Show him that you're not just going to take little pushes and little things that, you know, from people. So that's my take. I'm okay with this.
You got to protect yourself. I get it. I get the retaliation, but it was an overreaction.
That's fair.
JP?
Yep. I would say of the two of y'all, I would say I probably lean a little bit more towards Liam, just because not even something that you actually brought up, Andy, is that, you know, Jokic is the reigning MVP, and this man really, I feel like, doesn't get the respect he deserves. I mean, this guy is a top border, like at the minimum right now, top five player of the league, and he's probably more top three. And you still got guys messing with him, poking at him, you know, in the media. He doesn't get the respect he deserves. I think it's about time, like, that he starts, you know, he just out the court, you would never see a guy do that to LeBron. They don't do that. You know, they try to do it to Steph, but it doesn't work. You don't really do it to Giannis, but then these guys, they feel like they can take advantage of Jokic like that. And I think the Nuggets, part of it's also because I feel like the Nuggets have, even though they're trying so hard, they haven't really found their identity yet. And, you know, if this happens to any other superstar in the league, I feel like he doesn't have to take care of it. Jokic can turn around and look at anybody else on the bench and be like, yo, go get that guy for me. It's done. Which is how it should happen. You know, they should be able to get Bones Highland, the rookie, off the bench, and Bones should just go do the same thing. So I think eventually the Nuggets will come. Not that Jokic can't handle his own business. He can. Also, his brothers are very scary. But I'd say I think in the future, and I'm sure they talked about in the locker room, the next time somebody tries to mess with Jokic like this, I'm sure it won't be him handling the business. Somebody else is going to come in. Yeah. Maybe they'll run Campazzo out there.
I was going to say his brother's going to, take him in the
brothers,
back.
Yeah,
the brother's going to take him back in the back room and be like, this ain't going to happen no more.
Yeah, I guess last thing on this before we get really crazy with it is, like, who else was out there to protect the reigning MVP on that same side? You see Jimmy Butler just got a dog in him. The Heat have a certain type of dog in them that a lot of other teams just don't have. Where was that? Where was anybody else for Jokic? So,
yeah. I agree. Well, going from one Morris brother to the other, from the Heat all the way over to the West Coast, talk about the Los Angeles Clippers, where Marcus Morris plays. The Clippers are the hottest team in basketball right now, besides maybe the Warriors. They've won 7 in a row. They just absolutely destroyed the Timberwolves last night. They're going to play the Bulls tonight, Andy. See what happens. Your Bulls could be a good game. But obviously still early. 7-game runs in the early season don't mean much. However, without Kawhi Leonard, Paul George is playing the best basketball he's played since the Thunder and probably a few years before that, since his Pacer days. He's dominating on defense. He's still got one of the silkiest, smoothest games in the league. Looking like a possible MVP candidate. I would say he's still out probably the top five right now, but if he keeps playing like this, he's going to shoot right back up. Do we think these Clippers balling out of control, Paul George taking over, is this man-to-man worthy?
Yeah, I'll say it is, because I'm glad you brought up that the Clippers are playing very well. And I'm also – you have to think about the Western Conference right now. You got the Warriors, you got the Suns, and then from 3 to 8, they're separated by one game. And if Paul George, especially without Kawhi Leonard, is putting his team into a position to win, that is what I consider an MVP. So for me, I want him to continue to do this. And the Clippers are, you know, once they do get Kawhi back later in the season, this is another scary team for the Western Conference to deal with. And if you are the Warriors and you are the Suns and the Lakers, even the Jazz, even though I have no confidence in the Jazz to do anything in the playoffs until they actually do it, those are teams, like the Clippers are a team that you don't want to see. And it really gives me more of a, like, assurance that I don't think this is Kawhi Leonard's team anymore. I think it's slowly starting to transition into, this is Paul George's. He's number one option. And let Paul George give you as much as he can. And then when you can't get anything more out of Paul George, wait, we do have Kawhi Leonard, who has won championships, won MVPs in the finals. We have another guy to do it all. But let Paul George be the first option, and then Kawhi do what Kawhi does. and do all the dirty work and play defense. And not that Paul George doesn't play defense, because he's also a very good defender, but let him do the, you know, the secondary work and stuff like that. So I like it, and I think it also kind of puts an identity to the Clippers for later in the season. And I think this is the identity. If this is going to work with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, Paul George has to be the number one option, and then Kawhi just cleans up.
Yeah, I think those guys have been trying to figure out which one is going to be a leader, right? We've talked about with the Nets, and you know, they're missing their leader in Kyrie. You know, I'll give you the ball this play. Let me get the ball this play. Who's going to take the last shot? Are you going to do it? Should I do it? Coach, what should we do? Tyronn Lue, also amazing, outstanding coach. And this is, he's another just huge reason why they're having so much success at the beginning of the year. But without Kawhi, it looks like the team is establishing themselves and finding that true identity. And I think it's going to be a real difference player once postseason hits. I don't think they're going to get upset. I think that whole 3-1 thing is not going to happen again. But you got to think about the other supporting cast and these guys. And we talk about it. Yeah, you can have that one or two all-star on your team, but who else is on that floor with you? Reggie Jackson, averaging 22 points a game right now. Batum, about 17. Bledsoe is putting up numbers. Paul George, like, they just have a momentum and chemistry that they're playing so well with right now, where it's just going to continue, right? Liam, we always talk about momentum, and I really do think the momentum is, like, the biggest word to describe how well a team plays, how much momentum you have with a team is absolutely crucial. Just going into the beginning of the season, making a statement for your team and yourselves and your team's identity, middle of the season, bringing that momentum into that. And then obviously down the stretch, you know, momentum going into the postseason and playoffs, you got these guys averaging points like this. And then, you know, getting, you know, pick and rolls, going down the screens, popping to Nicholas Batum, Paul George facilitating as a sister, Bledsoe playing out of his mind. It's just like, yeah, okay, cool. We should probably have a bigger plan when playing the Clippers, when your other teams like that. So that's just my take on it. Momentum's huge right now, especially when starting out. That's why everyone's like, oh, Warriors. It's because they're playing so well at a fairly easy pace for themselves, if that makes sense. And I believe the Clippers are doing the same thing. Tyronn Lue's got them on board, got them on track. And yeah, Liam, without Kawhi, yeah, pretty scary if they got this going on right now.
And it gives, and I'm glad you brought the role players too, because it not only does it give them an identity of what I said, but when you have role players that are putting up numbers like you said, and it not even feels good as a role player to, you know, have a big game, it gives you confidence of like, I am able to do this. I'm able to knock down a big shot. I'm able to do this and that. And adding Eric Bledsoe, great pickup or whatever, but like at the same time, it just gives them confidence to know that once things do start to roll, not that they're not already rolling, but start to click, and they add Kawhi back into the mix, it just has the team has confidence in themselves right now. So
right, the question is just, are those guys gonna continue to have that confidence when Kawhi comes back, or are they gonna be like, okay, Kawhi's back.
They built it now. That's what I'm saying. They've built the confidence is already there right now. You know, it's right. Built.
I think so too.
Now, and then maybe they might not get as many touches or opportunities, but they do have that. When they get the opportunity, they have that confidence of like, this is my time. You know what I mean? And I'll knock down a big shot, or, you know, have a couple of plays on the defensive end to get a steal.
And I don't think Kawhi is that player where he's like, nah, I'm bad, give me the rock either. No. You know, he'll be like, for sure, but, you know, not anything overly excessive. I see how well my teammates can play if we play the right way. And yeah, so I don't want to mess that up in any sort of way.
Exactly. And it builds confidence for Kawhi and Paul George, the two big, you know, time players, that they also have confidence in their role players too, you know? Like, sometimes the question, I'm going to use LeBron, but sometimes LeBron questions his role players. You know, can I pass it to J.R. Smith, or is he going to fucking, you know, not remember the time? This right now, and the role players showing, you know, that they can do it, also builds confidence in Kawhi and Paul George of like, yeah, I can pass it to Eric Bledsoe. I can pass it to Batum, and they can, you know, produce on a not a sketchy level. So
when I look at teams, you know, regular season performance for me is good because you got to make the playoffs, but I'm a postseason guy. I look at your top seven, top eight, because when it comes to the playoff time, that's all you're going to run with. If you start going 9-10 deep in the playoffs, you got problems. So when I look at these top seven, top eight for the Clippers, and I insert Kawhi in there, we don't know exactly if he's going to play or not. This is like one of the best top seven, top eights in the league. And they are a team that is really hard to score against because across the board, they just have good defenders. And they're really starting to figure out their offensive game. You got Terrence Mann coming off the bench hooping. You got guys, like you said, you know, Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe last year in the playoffs was unplayable. But this year, he looks a lot better, a lot more comfortable. Nicholas Batum, a guy who was forgotten about when he was in Charlotte, come back and having a career revival. Is it Ty Lue? Maybe. Is it Paul George just having that sort of culture around him? Maybe. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's working. And I do think, though, this is probably it for this Clippers team. After this season, it's going to be really hard to keep these guys together because they return a lot. If they can't get it done now, I don't think they ever do. But this is a scary team right now. I don't want to play them. And I can say that if Kawhi Leonard comes back and inserts himself in this lineup and can be a factor, can even be 75% of what we know Kawhi can be, is a scary team. This is a very, very scary team.
So I have a question for you. Because you brought up, is this the last, you know, push for the Clippers? If they say they make it to the Western Conference Finals and lose to maybe a Warriors or a Lakers team or something, or the Suns even possibly, are they still getting broken up after that?
I honestly think in today's NBA, I can see it happening because teams just move so fast. And free agency these next couple of years is going to be crazy. And there's guys coming up. So many rookies are going to be so good right now. I mean, you look at the Blazers. You know, Blazers made the Western Conference Finals just three seasons ago now, I guess. And now the Blazers, they haven't really had too much roster turnover at the top, at least. And now it looks like they're going to have to blow it up at some point because the team just isn't there. If you don't capitalize in your window of opportunity with how good the NBA is right now, it's over.
So then follow-up is, if they make it to the finals and they lose, are they splitting up? I think that's where my original question happened to land. Probably.
Yeah,
so.
I guess I think it's a different question. You see what happens. I mean, I still think even if they get to the finals and don't win, it's probably still time to change something up. You know, can you hold on to these guys? Really what it comes down to. Terrence Mann, when it's time, he's going to get big money.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
Guys like Paul George, when this contract's up, he's still in his prime. Kawhi's still in his prime. Can you hold on to these guys? I know Steve Ballmer's willing to give up the money, but there's a cap for a reason. So I think this is the Clippers' opportunity, and we'll see if they stick it out. So that's all I got to say on the Clippers. So if y'all are good on that one, I'm good to move on.
Let's do it.
All right. Next up in man-to-man worthy, our next candidate, is another team that's really hot right now and actually has been one of the best teams in the league by record. Although if you watch them play, you could probably understand why a little hesitant to say they're that good. But the Washington Wizards, top of the East, they've won 4 in a row, 9-3 gritty wins, dirty wins. Rui Hachimura, not even with the team, and they're getting wins. Bradley Beal has been good, has not been Bradley Beal of years past, and he's dealing with some personal stuff, loss of family right now, but obviously that it all takes into account. But this team just wins games. I don't really know how they do it, and they're the top of the East right now. I don't think they're going to stay there, but maybe. Do we think this Wizards team, as they are right now, top of the East and looking pretty darn good, is this man-to-man worthy, and are they real contenders?
I'll say no. Let's keep it moving. But I do want to say one thing. Adding Kyle Kuzma and Harold to that team, it's probably one of the best moves they've ever done in their, you know, as a GM in terms of getting pieces. Bradley Beal, obviously we know what he can do. But is it worthy enough to talk about? No, because I was talking to Andy about this earlier today. Until we get, you know, proof that you can do something in the playoffs and actually turn some heads like the Hawks did last year, I don't want to talk about it. That's me. I don't care about it. The Wizards, they're making moves and producing, but wait, let's see what it is in like 30 games. And if they're still at the top of the East, then we can sit here and talk about it for me.
Yeah, I'll kind of just second, I guess, as selfish as it sounds, like what I said about the momentum going into the middle of the season. Yeah. If they can do that, okay. Let's talk. Let's talk. But I will say it's pretty cool for them to go 0-4 in the preseason. And then after that, 5-1. Like after that, you know, like they lost to the Nets by 14. Not bad. They're playing ball, man. They're playing ball. Respect to them. Great moves. But let's see if they can continue to do it. Keep it moving.
All right. Keep it moving. It is. Yeah. I've watched this team play a few times. They're right in my local region TV. I don't know how they win games, but they do. So, and you know what? That's sometimes better than just being a team that looks really good and loses games. I'd rather have the wins.
Facts.
But yeah, we'll keep it moving. And then another surprise team at the top of the East, although they did just have a very unfortunate turn of events, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, they've been really good. They run 7-footers in and out like they grow on trees. However, Colin Sexton, their star point guard, probably out for most of the season. It says 6 to 8 weeks, but who knows with this stuff. He's down for a while, and it's going to be not good with a little knee injury. That leaves the Cavs in the hands of Jared Allen, who has been playing like crazy. Darius Garland, point guard, still figuring it out, but he's a good project guy. Actually started coming to his own now.
Shout out Vanderbilt. And
shout out Vanderbilt.
Shout and out now, Nashville, baby.
And town. And now the surprise rookie of the year. Not really a surprise if you knew what you were getting, but a guy who kind of came out under the radar. Evan Mobley has been the best rookie this year by far. Y'all could argue about it with Chris Duarte. I don't really want to hear it. Evan Mobley is better than Chris Duarte. But this Cavs team, with all this talent, even with Sexton out, they're at the top of the East. They're right up there with the Wizards. These are two teams who we both thought were going to be basement, and now they're up top. Are these Cavs worthy of talking about with their 7-footers and their crazy, shocking turn of events good team?
For me, I'll call and roll over with the Wizards, but I do want to shout out Evan Mobley. I think that's why we have to at least mention it. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, spend 15 minutes talking about him like we did, you know, some other topics on here. But Evan Mobley, you knew coming from USC that if you watched any of those games, you knew he was the real deal. And he's only going to get bigger, stronger, and better in terms of, you know, shaping his game towards the NBA style. And he's going to be, I mean, he's going to be a problem. Not that he not already is, but he's going to be a problem when, you know, once he gets out of his rookie contract, because he's not going to win anything at the Cavaliers right now. But just.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird team to watch. That's has so much success.
It is though. It is, you really know, you gotta think
you
about
know,
it.
And then Ricky Rubio, like career high 37 points. They, you know, up down against, I guess, the Celtics last night, win by 2 points. Kevin Love's out potentially indefinitely for this team. Health and safety protocols for Love. We know he's kind of dealt with some injuries here and there over the past few seasons. Don't know what's happening there, but man, I'm with you, dude. I think Evan Mobley, if I had to put money on it today, I probably am pretty soon here on win, but no shout out. Evan Mobley will be the rookie of the year. He's way too good. You know, you got Scottie Barnes right there. I get that, but Evan Mobley is a stud, and I might have to rock with him, dude.
You know what the Cavaliers are. You know, when you go to the YMCA and you play in 4-on-4 and you go, I want the athletic guy. Give me the point. I want to run with you to the point guard. Oh, you big as hell. Yeah. Give me you, Jared Allen. Yeah. It's just like a thrown to team, you know, a bunch of players just thrown together in that sense. They don't really have an identity, but they're getting the job done, you know? So.
Yeah. They winning games. They stay in the W column, baby. Keep it moving though.
Yep. Hey, well, like we said with the Wizards, man, I'd rather look weird and win than look good and lose, but the Cavs are starting to look good. And I think Sexton going down is going to be a big deal, but we can keep it moving. We'll talk to the Cavs in February. We'll see what's actually going down. Same with the Wizards. But now with a team who we've all believed in since day one, another Eastern Conference team, a lot of Eastern Conference talk today, the Brooklyn Nets. I am happy to say it because I've believed the entire year. A lot of people in the league and around the league probably are not very happy to hear this, but the Brooklyn Nets are starting to figure it out. James Harden is starting to get there. He's starting to come up to full speed. Kevin Durant, if the season ended right now, it would probably be him and Steph 1-2 for MVP. The dude, it's somehow is getting better every year, which is insane for me to think about. I won't go too much deeper into it because I want to give it to you guys. But do we think the Brooklyn Nets, James Harden starting to figure it out, Steve Nash figuring out rotations, Kevin Durant playing out of his mind right now, is it man-to-man worthy?
Yeah, I'm gonna give this one to Andy because this is a topic that we talked about before the show, of that he almost begged it to be man to man worthy, and I'm able to sit here and talk about the Nets all day because I think they're just so fascinating. But I'll give the floor to Andy first here on this one, actually. So is this worthy? I already know the answer, yeah. But go ahead.
Harden's that kind of player that's had to adjust his game every single season, And this might be one of his hardest seasons to be able to adjust to, for obvious reasons. But the greatest thing about this season for James Harden right now, getting into it, is like you're saying, JP, with that grade 2 hamstring from last year rolling into this season, he pretty much came out and said, listen, everyone puts such high expectations on my name. You want me to drop a 30 burger, a 40 burger, and everything else. I'm still getting 18 when I'm not doing that. It's pretty still damn good, dude. And I'll get there. Just give me a little bit more time. I think he's there. You know what I'm saying? And talking about adjusting to the game, this guy's hitting the line the past two games at least 15 times. Helps out tremendously. Steve Nash is saying he's getting there. Be patient. You got to step it up, man. You talk about KD and MVP. How is he getting better? I think this might be James Harden's greatest season he's ever had, because that I believe so that the Nets will go to the finals and win the NBA finals, probably against the Warriors. If he does that, then hopefully that'll settle my case. But it's a team where you kind of figured out, okay, Kyrie Irving ain't coming back anytime soon. I know KD, I don't know what I'm looking at here. KD and Harden, they were down in a couple games ago, like 20 points. And then in this game, I don't know who, I think it was against the Hornets just recently, they combined for 67 points. It's back to just them two. But the biggest question is, like, that could be an individual award for James Harden having the greatest season of his career. Role players, right? That's what we're talking about here. That's going to be the recurring theme for every single team, and as it is every single year going just into the rest of the season. James Harden is a stud, man. He's a stud for a reason. Very smart guy. Yeah, sir. He might hit a little club here and there, but
or eat a couple of cheeseburgers too.
Eat a couple of cheeseburgers. But when you adjust to the game, like James Harden, guys like superstars like Steph Curry, KD, LeBron with his age, I mean, those are some different type of breeds right there, brother. So James Harden and the Nets and the success and this being in this the best spot that he's probably been in his entire career. Get ready, man. The Nets are coming this year. The Nets are coming, and I believe James Harden will be right there probably here in the next few games.
I think you brought up a good point in terms of even just to piggyback off of what James Harden said too, is we're, you know, people that follow the NBA like we do, we are so quick to overanalyze every little thing, you know. And the biggest thing right now is it's so early. Like, teams have just barely played 10 games. And we're like, oh, they're bad. Or like, oh, the Wizards are, you know, they're bad. They're not going to do anything. Or, you know, the Clippers, they're going to probably make it to the finals and this and that. But for James Harden, he's been through enough, and he's realized, like, I got KD on my side, and I'm James Harden. And at the end of the day, if Kyrie Irving figures his shit out, we got the, you know, probably I'll say top 10 or three of the top 10 players in the NBA on my team. I'm fine. So like, media, relax. I'm gonna get my bag. I'm gonna get my points and this and that. So I almost looked at the press conference after that game of more of like just respect. Like, he's been here, he's done that, he's, you know, he's been through so much in his career in terms of, you know, getting, you know, having a 3-1 lead and getting beat with Chris Paul and this and that. Just relax. I got my guys with me. We're gonna make a run. Don't worry about us. You know, hopefully injuries don't play a factor in that, but in a day, we're going to be all right. So I almost gained more respect for James Harden. And I want to say too, I'm glad you brought up that him adjusting to the game. When there's a rule change strictly because of what something you do on the court, that's even more respect. You know, they had to change the game because you found a, not that I agree with the rule change or I don't agree with the rule change. They had to change the game because of you. So that's respect from me. So that's all I got.
I'm sorry. I just looked at myself, man. I look insane. So I apologize. Me trying to get serious with a fucking turtleneck on. All right, JP, what you got, dude?
Well, you do look insane, but that
I'm glad. Hey, you know what? Again, yeah. Me and JP on the same team out here, man.
Yeah. I'll just go on past that. But yeah, you guys know it. I've said it from the beginning. I think this Nets team is still the most talented team in the league. I don't see a team in the East right now that I think would beat him in a 7-game series, and especially with James Harden coming into full shape here. I just want to keep watching this team do its thing. Are the role players going to have to step up? Yes. Is Blake Griffin going to have to step up? Yes. That is a guarantee. However, in a 7-game series, the top 7 players on this team, just like I talked about with the Clippers, are really, really hard to beat. I'm taking them. I like them a lot. There's not much else to say. I've talked about them a lot. I think they're really good. And you guys said a lot more intelligent things than I said. But yes, I like the Nets. you know what? No more. No, nobody gets any more man-to-man worthy. We're going to honorable mentions just because Andy's freaking me out. But I got some honorable mentions here. Lonzo, a little bit, some tampering talk. Some Lonzo, Kyrie, possible free agency talk. So the initial investigation. There ain't shit going to come out of that. Nobody cares. Honorable mention.
I want to say this, though, on that note. Every trade or acquisition a team makes, there's tampering involved every time. Yeah. So just like we saw with the AD trade, with the Chris Paul trade, with the James Harden trade, they all make these initial, you know, investigations. Hey, like you say, ain't shit coming from that.
No.
The deal is already done.
Yeah, I don't know. What is the NBA just bored or something? Like, what's going on there? Just trying to politically correct themselves. I guess I got an honorable mention. I'll give it to him. Cade Cunningham. I know he's a stud.
Oh, he's a stud now.
I know. Yeah, he's a stud now. Early game thing, it sucks, costing me money. But now,
You watched him against your boy.
This is why I'm saying this. He made me a lot of money. He made me a lot of money. Shout out to Prize Picks. I was able to use the over under player prop app out there, and I bet $70 to 3 times my wager. Turned that into 210, ultimately 280. They had a prop bet, and you had to parlay it, a prop bet over with Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham when they were playing each other earlier last week on Tuesday. I think it was Wednesday night. They both went for like 25 or something. Then the player props are like 13.5. I mean, they hit that at halftime, son. They're really good players, man. I didn't realize that they played together in high school and growing up and things like that. Jalen Green, man, dunking on him, throwing some shade. You love to see that all day.
Fuck off me, boy.
Fuck off me, boy. Cade Cunningham. I just got to shout him out, dude. Great game for him, kind of finding his rhythm. He's on a really bad team. I'll give him that. Killian Hayes is probably, you know, crying himself to sleep as well. But, yeah, Cade Cunningham, I think it was either tonight or last night. I don't know who against, but hit a pretty much a game winner with 45 seconds left for the Pistons get their third win or their second win. I don't know. I got a shout out Cade Cunningham. He'll figure it out. He's a stud. He's smooth with it, but so is Jalen Green. Then those are my two honorable mentions.
I want to say with Cade, though, a big thing that I saw on that game against the Rockets, the coaching staff and all the players, Cade Cunningham is talking to the coach after every play. He's getting input. He's learning the game. And that's what you want to see from a rookie. You know, you want your rookie to be invested. Maybe not the face of the franchise, even though he is, and he probably won't stay there for long, but that's what you want. You want your player to be invested, learning the game. And when you go to the huddle and the coach is talking to you, brings you aside saying, oh, you should have done this, or like, I'm doing this and this, that's what you want. And that's That's why he is the best rookie out of last year's class, and that's why he was number one pick. So fuck you, Andy, for thinking he was that slaw. So
I'm
glad you came over to me and JP's side. You're on our team tonight for that one. But I think with that, guys, we're gonna jump out of here. If you want to keep up with us daily, again, go check us out on social media. We're the clouds, as we say, at Man to Man Podcast on all social media. But with that, I'm gonna namaste you guys out of here. So namaste to you guys. Namaste.
Namaste, Andy. Go change your sweatshirt. Namaste.
Namaste, Turtleneck Nation, baby.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.